Okay, we do have a couple of prayer requests. This first one is for the family of Kerry Hoekstra, who went to his heavenly home this past Saturday. And he was our sports director at the newspaper. So he took care of the sports for both the Beckham County Record and the Elk City newspaper. So many people loved Kerry. Good Christian man that just loved the Lord and did a lot of great things with the different teams around our area, getting their information to the paper. And then we want to pray for L.C. Price, who's in the hospital in Cleveland, Ohio. He's been in ICU since August 8th. He had a double bypass, and they replaced the aortic valve and fixed the mitral valve and some other things. They had to put a pump in his heart for a little while and just different things. But Anna wrote a few days ago that after they got those things done, got a blood clot removed, and got that pump in there, that everything began to function so much better in his heart. The swelling went down and just lots of things. As a result of all that, though, he did have to go on dialysis for several days, but he's off of that now. So they're hoping he gets out of ICU today. LC and Anna are loved by so, so many people, and LC's just been such a great person in this community to help with a lot of nonprofit things that he believes in. You know, he's helped us at the he started Christie's. It was named after his first wife, who passed away at a young age. Christie's Thrift Shop was named after his wife. He always has supported the Western Oklahoma Family Care Center, and just he and Anna are just great, great couple. So, oh, and Monica's pointing to the cell phone that we had another one on there.
Yeah, while Neve is looking, you know, it's just that how do you adjust losing someone? You know, how do you adjust to this? You know, and you know that one thing, you know, I'm gonna talk for a minute before I pray. One thing that, you know, we think that when we lose a loved one, with Kerry Hoekstra, you know, and his family, and that's, it's a great loss. You know, it's one of those things that this is a person that's been a part of your life, and all of a sudden they're gone. You know, and I hate the statement or the comment that people make that God took this loved one. I want you to replace that thought, because God never takes anybody. He receives them. He receives them. And we got to realize that we're all going to die one day a physical death. The Bible tells us that. We're going to die a physical death. And so when the time comes, no matter what brought it about or whether it's our choice or not, you know, it's there's a time to live and a time to die. And so the one thing I want to reiterate is that God does not take your loved one away from you. And yes, maybe a sickness took your loved one, but it wasn't God that brought the sickness. We got to get that characterization of who he is. You know, and I know I'm talking to people this morning, and what I'm telling you, this is the truth. Now, it doesn't make the hurt go away, but it doesn't mischaracterize God in the process, because that's what the enemy wants to do. And so we're going to go to prayer here. And Father, we just thank you for the blessing that Kerry Hoekstra was, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you bring peace to the family, peace to their minds and their hearts, Lord God. Pray, Father, that you work out situations that were brought about through this process, through his going home, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would work in the details, Father, and that you would bring about solutions and answers that are needed at this time, and we thank you for it. Father, I thank you for L.C. Price and the blessing that he's been. Thank you, Father, that your blessing is upon his life. I'm thanking you now for the recovery, how everything's responding. But I speak to his body to come into agreement with everything that's been done medically in his body, that the body adjusts and that it bounces back the way you created it to, Lord God, that the blood will flow, that that whatever's the cause in the kidneys or whatever it is for the dialysis, that would correction would be brought about in that area. Father, I thank you for it. We speak life and health over LC in the name of Jesus. And Father, we lift up Monica's mother and the need that she has, Father. And we just pray, I speak peace over her in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray with the peace, Lord God, that you would restore the joy of her salvation. I thank you, Father, that what she's facing is nothing in comparison to who's behind her. And that's you, Lord God. We exalt you and we thank you that the needs are not only acknowledged, but they're met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can we pray for a cousin named Bobby who's having heart issues?
Okay, and we'll pray for Bobby too. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you don't disconnect. We disconnect in our minds, but you never do. Father, we pray for Bobby and we lift him up, and that heart condition in the name of Jesus, that heart condition. Father, I pray that you lead him to the pathway of life. And Father, for whatever is affecting his heart, whether it be in his mind or in his heart, Lord God, that thing would be corrected. I pray, Lord God, that you speak to him, that he may do what you have commissioned him to do, that he may also do what you've called him to do. And we thank you for it. We speak your words of life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Spain's Construction and Remodeling, they are our Facebook sponsor for today. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. The Refuge Church, located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for this morning is Rick Spain. His title for today is The Change. Back to you, sir.
All right. Well, I hope you guys are getting something out of this today because I know that I'm getting something out of it. So the Word of God is always alive, always alive, always wanting to work in us. And what it wants to work in us is the character of Christ. And so getting back to the lesson, we looked at the inspections. And what I want to tell you is going back to the scripture reference we read in Matthew chapter 7, what Jesus said. He said, when the storm comes. That's what he said, when the storm comes. So it affected both parties. So one thing I can guarantee you is the storm will come. It's going to come. And so, you know, it's with all the heat we've had lately here in western Oklahoma, I mean, we've been in the hundreds for, you know, our TV stations in Oklahoma City, so they haven't seen the hundreds like we have. Now, it's been hot over there, too, but it's, you know, we think, is it ever going to go away? Well, obviously, yes. When the season changes, the temperatures are going to change. And so, you know, this is something we can be assured of, that storms are going to come. And if you don't recognize that, then you're living in a fantasy world. You know, and so what we tend to do is we build barriers around us and things to help prevent the storm. This is important. Yeah, this is something I'm not downplaying that at all. We should be prepared when the storm hits. But, you know, even when you're prepared for everything in every way you think you're good, the storm still comes. That was reflective of job we did in Enid. And the biggest part of that job, I wasn't qualified to do it. Under certain regulations, I couldn't do this. And so I hired a subcontractor to go do that work for me. Before the work was started, I got a letter of affirmation that was saying when the job was finished, we're going to get paid. And so my part in the job was about, you know, it was maybe 10% of the job. The subcontractor was carrying 90% of the financial burden. And so what happened is we finished the job, sent an invoice off, and no money. And so making a long story short, you know, I'm corresponding with the parties that I'm needing to correspond with, and there's problems here and problems there. And we've got one individual that is a representative on the money side, but not connected to the corporation. Only it was a financial part as a transaction. So he kept telling me, well, it's going to be, you're going to have the money next week. And then he'd say, it'd be a couple of weeks. And then we're going to have one more thing we got to do. It's going to be another week. This went on for 6 months. In the meantime, after 1 month, the subcontractor brought a lawsuit against our company. And so on top of this, I bought a house that got a really good deal on it. And I'm, you know, someone go in there and work it over, you know, bring it up to date, and then I was going to resell it. So that's what you call flipping a house. Anyway, I'm not a house flipper. So what happens is I look at it like it's my house, and I want it to be really nice and this and that, you know, and then one thing leads to another. In the end, I paid about $10,000 for that house. No profit at all. So both of these are concurrent, both going on at the same time. And oh my gosh, you know, the one thing the Lord told me early, he said, Rick, don't worry. It's going to be taken care of. I did pretty good, Monica. Did pretty good. But then it'd get around the first of the month and all these bills would start coming in. And I'd look at my bank account and I'm thinking, there's no way I can pay these bills. And so I'd get in trying to figure it out, trying to figure it out. Before I knew it, I'd be worrying. Now, generally, it lasted like a 24-hour period. I mean, really, that's what it was, about a 24-hour period. And this happened about within the six-month period, probably four or five times, 24-hour period. And then I'd come to my senses and the Lord say, I'd remind myself, don't worry. You know, I never was late on a bill in that whole six-month period. I cannot tell you how. I'm telling you, my bills were paid. We got done, finished with the admin job, and the owner of this big business, now they're a big corporate deal. You know, they've got stuff all over, you know, mainly in the South, but they've got a lot of property. And so this guy's like an everyday guy, like you and me. And I'm corresponding with him. And there towards the end, he said, well, how much extra do you need? And so I'm calculating. I said, I'm thinking about $50,000. He sent me a check for $50,000. And so what looked like was going to be a great loss, I'm not going to make the profit that I normally would, but it's not going to cost me, even with all the lawyer fees. That's crazy thing about getting sued. Who gets the money? It's neither the person being sued or the person suing. The lawyers get the money. But anyway, all the legal expenses are covered. I covered his expenses. Instead of going to court, I just went ahead and just settled and probably was more generous than I needed to be. But, I wanted to get out of there free and clear. So, that was a storm. And so I want to give you a solution. What happens when the storm comes? First thing you do is you speak the word. Hebrews 4:12-16 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the dividing of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creation hidden from his sight. But all things are laid open, bare to the eyes of him of whom we have to do. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was and who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You know, this thought came to me yesterday. And, I was just, I don't know how it came. I don't remember. But the thought came to me. There was an old boy named Bill. And Bill, he's praying. He's coming to the Lord. He's really downtrodden. He says, Lord, this drought has really affected my farm. We, 2 years of drought, and I hadn't been able to grow, and I've spent all the money I've had. I don't have the money to pay my creditors, and so they're going to take my farm away from me. And he says, my wife is not sitting well with all this, and she thinks it's my fault. My friends, they don't acknowledge me at all. They, when I walk in, it's like they turn their face. They don't want to talk to me. And my kids are getting out of control. He's, I just given all this to you, Lord. And God, he's up there in heaven, and he looks over at Jesus, and then he speaks to all the angels. He commanded them to leave the throne room. And he said, well, Bill, this is a really, really big deal. It's going to take me a while to figure this out. I will get back with you later. Okay, the girls are smiling. So I'll smile too, because you know what? God will never do that. Never. I don't care how big your problem is. He is never scrambling for an answer. Ever. He's got all of the answers. And it includes whatever you're going through. And so what we just read, that, you know, we're talking about God's word. Not just anybody's word. When you go and want to be comforted by somebody else, they might speak a really good word to you. But it's not God's word. We're talking God's word. And so the word of God's living. And so it goes on to say that we don't have a high priest that doesn't understand. He does understand. So we got to hold fast to what we say. Hold fast to what we say. And if what you're saying is in agreement with your problem, you know who's going to be God in your life? Your problem. When your words line up to what he says, he's going to step in. So we've got to learn that when bad things happen, God has given us an answer. And it's found right in his word. And instead of going to God and asking him to look at your problem, what you need to go and look in his word to see his answer. And then instead of talking about your problem, talk about the answer. What does he say? You know, financial problem, my God shall meet all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He blesses the righteous man, and he surrounds him with favor as with a shield. If it's health, Jesus bore stripes on his back so that you could walk in health. If the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, he's going to give life to your mortal body. You find that word. What is God's answer? Now, it may not seem like it changes the circumstances, but remember what we read earlier. If you base your life on the circumstances, then you're going to go with the circumstances. If you base it upon what God says, the circumstances have to change. And so we learn to speak the word. The next thing is in Philippians 4:6. It says, what are we talking about? We're talking about when the storm comes, what do? Philippians 4:6-7, it says, don't worry about anything, but by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will encompass your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so what I want to bring out here is something that's in that text is petition. So what is a petition? A petition is something that a person or a group of people writes and presents to the authorities. So in this petition, it is a request. And what is the request? Whatever is written in the petition. And so God's telling us to write down our petitions. Write it down. So, you know, I was going and looking at some work at a couple's house, and the husband was gone, the wife was there, and so I'm looking at the work and you know, not really thinking spiritual thoughts or anything. I'm thinking work thoughts, you know. And so she comes to me and she starts talking about this problem she's had, and it's been going on for a long time. It's a physical problem. She says, I'm a believer, I believe that God heals, but it's not happening. Why isn't God healing me? When I run into those things, immediately I go to Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, and on the inside, what is it that I need to do here? And he dropped this in my heart. And so I said, come on in here and we'll sit down and talk. And so we're talking, and I said, well, I've got an assignment for you. What I want you to do is sit down, get a pencil and a piece of paper, and write out a petition to God. I want you to write it out. What is it that you want? What is it exactly? Because I'm going to tell you, when you pray vague prayers, you know what you get? Vague answers. If you pray specific prayers, and this is what a petition does, you get specific answers. And so this is what I'm telling you guys today. When the storm comes, what we do, we speak the word immediately. We don't yield to that storm. God has given us an answer. We speak the answer. We don't speak the problem. The next thing you do is you write out a petition. Be specific. What is it that you are desiring for God to do in your life? And I want you to, to the T. Write it down. You want the answer to come in this way, in this category, whatever, affecting certain people, whatever it may be. It can only come from you. And I would suggest that you bring God's word, those answers, into that petition, because you said, and write it out. Write out whatever the scripture is. And then sit back and watch to see what happens. So what speaking the word and petition do is, number one, it solidifies your faith. Romans 10:10, it says, for by believing in your heart a person is saved, and with confession, let me go to verse 8. The word is with you, even the word of faith which we speak, that if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is by believing in the heart. How's it go? Read it for me. It's definitely in my head. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified by faith, and it's with the mouth that profession is made unto salvation. I was getting caught up there in the middle. One part I was forgetting. So what it does is it solidifies your faith. When you see this affirmation that, none of us out there say, well, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you get saved. But if you walk away, you might lose it. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says if you confess and you believe, you're going to get what you've asked for. And we accredit this to salvation, but it means for every part of your life, whatever the storm looks like. And so what it does is it solidifies your faith, and that gives God opportunity. Because I'm going to tell you about in Acts 16, there was a jail cell, and Paul and Silas found themselves in this jail cell. Now, to back up a little bit, they didn't do anything illegally. They didn't break any laws. Everything was in order. They were within law in everything they did. And there was a bunch of people come up and said they were breaking laws. And based upon this, they're thrown in this jail. Now, this jail was nothing like the jails we have today. We think, well, nobody wants to go to jail. This was bad, really bad. And so not only were they thrown in jail, they were thrown in the deepest, darkest part, in the inner quarters of this jail. This is where they kept the crazies and the most violent or whatever. They put them way back. This was extra punishment. And so they're back there in the dark, got beat to a pulp, both of them. You know, they've been beaten. And they're in there, chained up, chained to the core. They barely can move, you know. And so what would you do in that situation? Well, any well-meaning person, what would they do? Well, first of all, you're going to talk about the injustice here. And you know what? Holler at all the other guys, too, because this ain't right. We didn't break any laws. And those people that are blaming us, you know what? They should be in here. They should be in this jail cell. That's not what Paul and Silas did. What'd they do? They began to pray, and they began to speak the answers, bringing praise to God. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, that all the jail cells opened up. You know, it's like an earthquake, and everything opened up. When we speak what God says and acknowledge Him for who He is, what happens is it gives Him opportunity. And so, you know, there's times in our life when storms come and it seems like the heavens are covered, we're isolated, and it doesn't even seem like when our prayers are going above the ceiling. But when we begin to speak His word, the heavens open up. I'm telling you, it happens. And then it gives opportunity for God. Now, God is not holding back answers. He's not up there saying, well, you gotta speak the word and you know what, you gotta praise me and all this stuff, and then I'll do something. What speaking the word and acknowledging Him does is it opens up a portal so that it gives Him opportunity to do what He already wants to do. And so a lot of the answers to prayer are not bound because of God. They're bound because of us. What are we talking about? I know. I've done it. So it solidifies our faith. It gives God opportunity. It keeps your thoughts in check. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not delay. So remember, we were talking about petition, writing it down, being specific. And this is our scripture that we can base it upon. Write it down. It's going to happen. And so if what happens if you don't write it down? Well, it may happen, but it's just another occurrence in life when we go on and we forget about it. You know, but when we write down this petition to God, we can be assured that in 1 John it says that when we ask God for something according to His will, and His word is His will, when we ask it according to His will, He hears us. Well, that's great. I like for God to hear me. But it goes on to say He not only hears us, but He gives us what we have requested of Him. Petition. So what it does is it keeps your thoughts in check, because when the thoughts go haywire, what we do is go back to what we wrote down, our petition. God, this is what it looks like, but this is what I've requested of You. And You said that when I say it according to the scriptures here, I'm going to receive it and make that the final answer. Walk on, do whatever's next in line to do. Don't worry about it. So the next thing it does is it helps you to focus. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so then we don't focus our attention on things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Remember that, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the problem because I see it? Or are we focusing on the answer? The thing that I may not see now, but it's coming. That thing's coming. So it helps you to focus. The fifth thing it does is it reminds you of where you are and where you are going. And so I'm just going to give you scripture reference here. Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. And Colossians 1, 9 through 12. So for sake of time, I'm not going to read these to you. I encourage you to read them. But what these are Paul's prayers. He said, I'm praying this for you. And so he's doing two things. One, he's speaking the word. Two, he has it written down. Now, we see it. This is God's word. It's the Bible. The way Paul's seen it, he wrote it down. This is what I'm praying. And so if you don't write it down, so you're going to forget where you've been. And you know what you are going to? The next storm. And so your relationship with God is based upon the storms you go through in life. So when you get through a storm, thank you, Lord, I'm going on until you come to the next storm. God, help me, deliver me of this. You know, answers come in whatever way because it's a random prayer, so it's obviously a random answer. And so we move through that. We go from storm to storm. So what this does, when we write it down, we can go back and say, well, this is where I was, and this is what I requested of God, and you reflect on that, and I'm going to tell you, most times, if not all the time, it's exactly the way you wrote it. It's exactly what was in that petition. The answer comes. And so we don't live from storm to storm. When the next storm comes, instead of bringing God down to face this storm with, you go back to that last storm, you say, well, this is what he did. This is what he did for me. So I'm assured that this storm is not going to overtake me either. I will overcome. And the last thing is in that record. The last thing, keep your records. Keep the records of where you've been and where God has brought you to. Because I want to read this last scripture, set of scriptures in Psalms 111 verses 3 through 5. It says, splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. So there's two times where remembrance is brought up. One is for us. He has given us our food, and he's filled our lives with answers. He doesn't fill our life with problems. And what do we do with these answers? We remember. We remember. Don't forget. Because you know what? He doesn't forget. He will never forget the covenant he made with you. No matter what you're facing right now, God has the answer. And so follow these steps that I'm telling you here. When the problem comes, find the answer. What does it say in God's word? And you begin to let it come out of your mouth. That's how salvation comes. speak it with your mouth. And if it's a big deal, sit down, get you a pencil and piece of paper, write out a prayer, a petition to God, fill it with the answers, and be specific in what you're requesting. And I'm going to tell you, see what God can do. This is the change. See, we pray for changes on the outside. What we need is changes on the inside. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this word, Lord God. Impress it upon our minds and our hearts, Lord God. Help us not to forget. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for that message, sir. You have been tuned into the Hour Power, y'all. And I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful, sweet Miss Neva Pyatt, and from our brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.